Welcome to Nodcast, episode 280, take 3. I'm Saverin.
That's the title of the episode, I'm Saverin?
Yes. Also, it's about a dick-shaped cactus, which I've tried to tell this twice, and the audio decided to dirt because one of our cables has died.
Well, I have this to say to that.
Thank you, Fuzz, for giving that detailed and gripping reenactment of what we had to deal with earlier.
Yep. I'm Fuzz Wolf.
Yes, you are. So, yeah.
Shiva is on the second week of her vacation. Yes.
She's on a boat, motherfuckers.
She should be back next week.
Yes. Provided she doesn't decide that she's going to become... She changes species and becomes a merchacat. So she has the upper limbs, the four limbs, and a fish tail.
Or do, like, the limbs turn into two different fish tails?
Oh, no.
So she's like a torso with, like, two tails.
She's a whale tar.
But you can't actually coordinate them properly, so she just swims in circles going, why do I live?
God. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
Only the most depraved furry mind would actually do that.
Let's draw that shit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like you said, all the limbs plus tails.
Yes.
God. And there's like extra dicks on the tails.
Of course. And all the exposed mammaries, because aquatic mammals totally have those.
That's right. Yeah.
You ever seen a whale's tits?
On weed.
It's been a week since we recorded. Not a lot is going on in my neck of the woods. I am elbow deep in recording Fox and Football Tiger for Tight Ends. recording Uncovered. That's a good read. Enjoying that.
Then there's the chapter where they all get high as hell. It's called Super Bowls.
Yes.
And then they fuck and they're like, ah. Have you ever had a barbed cock up your ass on weed?
Well, it's a good... You know, I do have to say, though...
Kyle is at home going, I don't remember that part.
I do have to say, though, there's a couple points in the story that have made me kind of, like, pause.
Pause?
Well, okay, so...
deer. But as at home, I'm holding up my paws.
Yes. So there's deer in the world, yes. Right?
They're deer.
Anthro deer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm going to presume there's anthro reptiles of some sort.
Okay.
So in one chapter, Lee and the reporter dude whose name escapes me at the moment, they go and have tacos. Uh-huh. They have carnitas tacos and chicken tacos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there anthro chickens and pigs in this world? They also eat burgers. They eat a lot of burgers. But there's a kicker who's a horse.
You can't eat my people. Burgers aren't horses, dude.
No. Well, if you get the shitty meat, yeah, definitely they are. Uh-huh, yeah. It's just one of those moments that make you think half a second. Like, and then Lee gets that Hal. Lee gets Hal a gator skin necktie.
Oh.
And like I could just see him walking down the street at one point, got this necktie on, and some monitor comes up, just punches him in the face. Was my ancestor, motherfucker. This is for the reptiles. Just starts stomping his swift fox ass into the dirt.
So, I'm not sure about this.
You're being monitored. And it's a monitor lizard.
Monitor this, motherfucker. Oh, I was having a conversation on Twitter.
I'm enjoying the book. Don't get me wrong.
We were talking about this, and I pointed out to a dude that... there aren't domesticated anthro animal species in Kyle's world. So, like, because someone was asking about dogs and stuff, but there are no domestic dog breeds. There's no Dalmatians. There's no guard barks. You know, there's wolves and foxes and stuff like that.
And foxes are racist. That, speciesist.
That doesn't rule out lizards, though, because, I mean, like, they're obviously like crocs in the wild and stuff like that. So, you know, is the fox nation at war with the lizard nation? He's like, I got you a tie. It's made from the skin of our enemies. Fuck yeah, Lee. Fist bump. paw bump. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I just was like had those moments.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, huh?
Yeah.
But that's just how his world rolls.
Yeah, and it's those are decisions that like every furry writer has to make, you know, as to what kind of animals we're going to have in this world. Because like the Wanderer comic, the main characters, there's like a wolf, there's a deer, there's a horse in his party, but they're also riding non-sentient, non-morphic horses. So there's the kind of horses that we have in our world, and then there's the anthro horse that's the character.
Huh.
So that's kind of interesting. And I was like, and I was like, if you're writing that out, like, I wonder if.
And the horse got on the horse and they rode away. Horse.
Yes, right.
Horse, horse.
I wonder if the four-legged horse has like a different name. You know, like maybe to call one equine and one horses or something like that. I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah. But I guess that makes sense. I mean, if they have wolves and whatnot, and there's coyotes and tigers and.
Have you seen this great picture of a dog? I think he's like a Labrador or something. And he's sitting upright in a chair, so it looks like he's leaning back, and someone's put the ball cap over his eyes, and there's a beer in front of one of his paws. It is something like, well, my dad says if we evolved from wolves, then why are there still wolves? God. So it could be a world kind of like that, where like they have a common ancestor and they split off. So there are four-legged, non-sentient horses, and then there are walking, talking, fighting, fucking horses. It could be something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, but in like, our world, we have different names for the, you know, like all the other apes and chimps and, you know, all their different breeds and shit like that.
Anthropomorphic orangutan.
Yeah, yeah, that's us.
Yeah. Right. Well, like in Summerhill, which is the other book I read most recently. Mm-hmm. Buy my book. Buy my audiobook for Planet.com.
Baddogbooks.com.
Summerhill's just an alien.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, and there's the psychedelic otter dudes.
Yep.
But everyone else is just some form of alien or human.
And that's like very true of a lot of sci-fi outside the fandom, too. It's like, oh, there's a dog person in this book. They're just a dog person. They're from a planet of dog people or whatever. And humans encounter them and, you know, help the dog bury the bone. And that just happens. Yep. And in our world, we're like, furries, fuck yeah. But, you know.
Yeah. Like first chapter, well, the second chapter, chapter two, the first chapter two, because the chapters are weird. It was like an anthro ankylosaurus or whatever, as well as mentioned, and it's just interesting when you spend half a second more thinking than you should, I guess, about this thing.
Have you been like high lately or something?
No,
where you're just like, wait a minute,
furries are weird.
The horse is riding the horse. Whoa, what if they're eating Jell-O? Fuck, mind blown.
That would be really fucked.
And he's watching My Little Pony on his iPad at the same time. Oh my god.
Oh, that'd be really funny if Kyle at one point makes Charm, which is the horse kicker character, just like, and Dev looked over and saw Charm tucking into a large bowl of Jell-O pudding. Or Jell-O salad, you know, it's like the fruit and the Jell-O cubes and the whipped cream. And he's like,
this shit is great, bro. And Dev put his paw in his mouth and slowly turned away.
All right, Kyle, you need to do that.
Charm also needs a tattoo on his hip. Yes. Like a little
football, yeah.
The little end zone thingies,
the uprights,
a
football going through an upright,
with
a rainbow trail behind it. What, man, it's called, you know, it's this cool show I watch. my little ape, and they have these hip tattoos. It's like, I think it's cool. God.
So here are the rails. Here are we.
Yes, and we're way off the
going
track
away from the rails.
Oh Oh, I'm sure people listen to this for more than just emails.
Oh, yeah. Of course. So I've done – I don't think I've done much lately. Oh, I've paid my whores.
Yay.
Speaking of horses,
horses. there's that linkage. Yeah.
I've been sending out royalty payments, basically. Yeah. So,
you better have their money.
I got their money. Yeah. So I like my kneecaps.
Yep.
You know, furry artists, they always go for the kneecaps.
And then they go for the butt.
Oh, God. You've got to stuff your kneecaps in your butt. Whoa. And then shoot them off. okay.
That wouldn't work, I'm afraid.
So I just did the layout for volume 4 of Backtrack. So more Scapo comics and pinups.
I like his stuff.
And we have a novella on pre-order right now. It's by Austin Crowder, who wrote Bait and Switch that came out a couple years ago. So it's like in that world where people turn into toons and stuff like that. So it's one that Tieran, actually, I think Buck did the typography on it.
Nice.
And I don't remember the name of it because I didn't work on it. Hang on.
Well, the first one was like Resisting. No, that was not it.
No, Bait and Switch was the first one. The Painted Cat is the second one.
Yeah, I think I saw the cover for that. You had it.
Yeah, I tweeted about it. It's not a novella. It's a novel.
No, well, it's a proper novel.
Yeah, I actually quite like.
Okay, that's cover. I saw the cover. Yeah, it's a hand drawing a paw.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, like, I read Bait and Switch recently, and but those who don't know, it's kind of an interesting world. It's a it's an analogy to being gay or being transgender or anything. Basically, kids just start turning into toons, and the main character has like a patch of toony fur around his navel, and his father is a realist, capital R, and there's the realist movement, you know, and get real is their big slogan about, because basically it started because there was a portal to the toon world that you could go to, and people would go over there and they would have fun and stuff like that and then come back. But then people started turning into toons, so they wanted to stop people from going over there because they don't know whether it's like if it just happens, if you catch it from another toon. You know, it's kind of YA aimed, so the analogy is as subtle as a brick to the head.
Yeah.
But
so did they break the portal at some point, or is this no?
No. And it's interesting. It's interesting the way it's written, bringing toon physics and the real world together. There's like certain channels that will go to the toon world, and you have to have a portable hole. Yeah, no, not a fox, Saffron. I know what you're thinking.
Okay.
But the little black circle that you would throw up on the wall and be able to jump through it and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's why, like, the cover of The Painted Cat is like a human hand painting a furry hand. Because they have these characters that they're not toons themselves, but they want to be kind of like fursuiters. So they paint themselves up with paint from the cartoon world so that they look like toons. And, like, there's one character that paints herself up to look like an anime girl. Which is kind of a neat concept, and you know, it lasts all day, and you know, then you can just wash it off.
So you're saying that fursuiters are all gay?
No, no. I mean, we know they are, but
yes, no, maybe.
I don't know, and I never let them near me, so I really don't know what their sexuality is.
You might catch the fursuit.
Yeah, I mean, oh god, that'd be horrible. Waking up with a big toony paw and just being like, no. And I'd still have to go to work, so I'd still be like, oh, on the train all the way downtown.
Then having to type. You have to get one of those comically large keyboards.
Yeah. Or like each key is like the size of your cell phone, and just. No, that'd be horrible. Yeah. Peck. No, I don't. I wouldn't mind being a furry. I don't want to be a fursuiter. Like, fursuiting is like an enforced thing. You just wake up and you're a fursuiter.
Conceal like, your filthy human flesh with state-mandated fursuits. In a world led by furry Hitler.
So Biggest Little Fur Con's theme this year is the BLF Corporation.
Yeah.
And like, so the corporation has all the corporate mandated things, and if you're a good citizen, etc. So that just kind of played into that in my head, you know, this government mandated fursuits.
If you do not have a fursuit, you'll be issued a fursuit, but it's going to be a shitty one of a character you don't like. It's like a fluorescent orange.
It's a sparkle light. Dog.
Yeah, you get sparkle dogs.
Yeah.
Until you can purchase up to a good one.
Oh, speaking of that con, though, BLFC is exactly 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
So I'm flying out Thursday morning, 2 weeks from now. So that'll be nice.
Cool. And Sheev will be back by then.
Yep. Oh, and Tyrion's going. Tyrion decided rather last minute, even after pre-reg closed, he was going to go too. Because there's a couple folks that he knew.
Yeah, I've heard lots of good things about the con. It just doesn't coincide with the time I can really go.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I enjoy it because I go for their vacation. But, like, I think I mentioned last week, more people have pre-regged for this year than attended last year. And last year's attendance was double the previous year.
Yeah.
So this thing's growing like a motherfucker. They have like 1,470 pre-regs, I think the number was. I'm pulling that off the top of my head, so don't quote me on that. But yeah, that's about it. That's about right. So you know they're going to have like 2,000 people there.
Yeah.
You know? Which is ridiculous when you think about it, because there'll be a 3-year-old con, and Fiesta was like a 7-8-year-old con.
And we only had 24.
Yeah, so this thing has just been, it's outpaced every other con in growth from what I can tell.
Consider though, I mean, it's in a cheap as shit area, and it's got all this 24-hour stuff you can do, and it's cheap, and it just sounds like there's a lot of fun stuff to do in addition to the con.
The legal brothels are like 40 minutes away.
Yeah, so some furries that somehow can't get laid with other furries might yet be laid.
Like the one straight guy at the con.
Yeah, he's like, oh, thank God, a vagina.
Because all the women are lesbians or they're fucking the bisexual guys. Because if a guy can take a dick, then he's more sensitive.
Yes.
So the one straight guy's like, somebody help me. And there's like a bunch of bros like, we could fuck you. Bro? That's not helping.
It'd help me.
Make me feel pretty good. Come on, help me out with a bro job.
Yeah,
it's not gay. Your balls will be right down there.
Man, BLFC sounds good, and bro jobs.
Yep, and I'll come back with a con report. And oh god, it's like 2 months till AnthroCon. Sorry, it just hit me. I'm just like,
You only have 400 books to produce, all new.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe that come by the table, I'll have to write and draw them all myself.
Yeah. You know, you really have, like, so many styles just down, and you have so much time to just type out all these stories of differing genre.
I use a different appendage for every style, and then I switched them up.
Yep. You just shake it up and mix it up, and there you go.
Yep. One hand is Michelle Light, the other hand is Blotch, and you know I can make them look entirely different.
Yep, and you do it at the same time. I mean, it's really impressive.
Yeah. It really, you know, I should really stream that.
But if you did, you'd give away your secret.
That's right. Yeah, I am all the furry artists.
Yep.
Everybody for Planet Publishes, I'm them.
Yes.
And yeah, we're joking about this because like every con, two or three times,
you make these.
Are you the artist? Which artist of all of these? No.
Oh.
I'm just a schlemiel, you know.
You're just the guy that publishes and you know corrupts the youth of the day with your furry degeneracy.
And hauls the stuff all over the country.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's interesting. Some of the questions we get, you know, like, did you draw all these? Summerhill starts on chapter 2. Is this a misprint? Common questions that we get. How much do I have to pay you to publish my book?
Yeah.
Which you don't. You know, also explaining the difference between a publisher and a printer and a distributor and when those two things, when those things sometimes overlap and sometimes when they don't.
You got to edumacate them.
Yeah. I should have a, I don't know, like a, well, we've done publisher Q&As, but it'd be interesting to do a, like a writing industry FAQ or something like that, okay. You know?
This is how it works with the Fur Planet family. And, you know, it's like, you know, very slick with the, you know, the very happy corporate music.
I
and
still,
this is how we do the books.
I still love my idea of the video that is like, here you see footage from inside the Fur Planet Industries. And it's 50s archival footage of a meatpacking plant.
Nice. And that's kind of how it goes.
Yep. This is how a comic is made.
It's like a dude slaughtering a pig.
God.
Hold on to your stomachs, boys. But when this is processed, it'll be fantastic masturbatory material.
Remember, never ask where your yiff is coming from. You might be horrified. And that's footage of like a cow being milked.
Yes. Like, remember that book, The Jungle? It's like that. With more orphans.
That one I don't know. Are you mean The Jungle Book?
No, The Jungle. It was a book written about the meatpacking industry in like the early 1900s.
There. Oh, so like child labor and stuff?
Yeah, it basically brought to light the deplorable conditions in like Chicago meatpacking, if I remember correctly, and was like the precursor to a lot of reform. And regulation, because people were doing shady shit with the factories and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people don't still do that. Unfortunately, it's just slightly more regulated than it is.
Right. I'd like to just quickly say thank you to everyone who is supporting our Patreon. It's up to quite a few bucks so far. I think it's like $50, $55.
Yeah.
Something like that, which is really incredible because we only announced it last week. So. Yes,
we think you are keen, every last one of you. And once the payments go through at the end of the month, we'll start doing the on-air thank yous for whatnot. Got to go through.
Yeah. I learned that from artists.
Yes. Our Patreon listeners do get the podcast a day earlier and in higher quality.
Yeah, I noticed that. I didn't know you were doing that. That's cool.
And since we don't have like a billion people as patrons, I can totally get away with just posting the download file up there on Patreon site for the people to grab.
Right.
But it is in higher quality and a day early.
Cool. That's pretty bomb.
The benefit of supporting your Dong podcast.
Yes, that's patreon.com/notcast.
Notcast!
I was going to go ahead and read one of our emails here.
We sure.
Got a couple emails. Okay. This one's subject is life goals. Dear Notcast, just a quick question here. I recently hunkered down and started writing, which is something I've wanted to do for a while now, but I feel a little guilty not having started sooner. I'm 24 and finished high school about 5 years ago, and even though I've been working since then, I still had plenty of spare time to spend writing. Should I let this bother me, or should I focus on the fact that I have finally started something to do for a while? For some added context, I wouldn't say I wasted my time in those years. I've got a great position at work, moved interstate and back, and got a retail management certificate, and I've read a lot of books. Long-time listener, Ray Farr. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to say, no, don't let that bother you. I know there's, like, a heavy pressure in our world that, oh, you've got to...
Got to figure your shit out by the time you're 20.
Right, you've got to peak young So if you're going to be a writer, you better have that first book.
Get your YA books down by the time you're 17. If you didn't write an Aragon popular story, you might as well just kill yourself.
Right. But remember that J.K. Rowling was an adult.
And like homeless.
Yeah, and homeless when she wrote the first Harry Potter book. One very cool actor, actually, Dennis Farina, who's in Snatch and a bunch. He always plays either a cop or a gangster. He was a detective for like 20 years, like had a full career as a detective and started acting in his 50s. And now he's known as an actor. So, you know, he formed a whole new career and became famous in his 50s.
The dude who's the machete. What, that guy's name, his machete?
Oh, yeah, Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo. He was like a prisoner, and he wasn't an actor or anything. He was like
yeah.
a boxing extra or something, and then mm-hmm. he got into acting.
And all those tattoos are real.
Yeah.
Also, who else was saying? I think Tom Clancy was in his 40s when he published his first book. There are people that, yeah, sure, you might have a one up as a piano player if you're like a child prodigy and you start taking piano lessons when you're six. But there's really nothing stopping somebody from sitting down and starting playing the piano as an adult or start experimenting with writing or art or anything.
I mean, shit, I didn't start doing audiobook stuff until, like, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And I just never thought of it. But people are like, I like your voice, you should do this. And thus.
And, but actually, another one is Richard Adams. I don't remember what his job was originally, but the Watership Down stories were stories that he made up and told to his kids in the car as he was driving them to school. Or telling them a good night story or something like that. And they were like, Daddy, you should write these stories down. Yeah, I know. He might have punched it up a little bit
for the novel. Yeah, I was going to say, Daddy, but what happened to the rabbits? They closed over the burrow. I'll tell you after school, kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell them before bed.
And then the gas flooded in and killed all the bunnies. Have a nice day at school, kids.
Or, good night, honey. I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah, but that's how Watership Down got started. His daughters were like adults at the time, and they were like, "You should write those stories down," and he did.
Cool.
So you know, and that became and it got rejected from something ridiculous, like 13 or 18 publishers or something like that. And then he found this like little known publisher that said, "Yes, we'll publish it," and it became a huge hit.
Well, I mean, I've seen this all over Tumblr. Like, there's this, like, info chart where it's, like, people who started later in life.
Oh, that's cool.
I gotta find it. Or I'm gonna give it a quick shot.
Okay.
Who became famous? Doing it live, people. Later in life.
Google faster!
I'm typing as quickly as this keyboard will register.
Okay, Google, who became famous later in life?
People who became successful after age 40. Here we go.
Okay. 27 actors who achieved fame later in life. Which would be totally clickbait.
Well, I'm hoping this is the actual chart. So let's see, Stan Lee created his first comic title, Fantastic Four, just shy of his 39th birthday. Gary Heaven was 40 when he opened the first Kurz Fitness Center, which is a women's fitness. Vera Wang was a figure skater and journalist before entering the fashion industry at 40. Samuel Jackson was 43.
When he started acting?
Yeah.
Oh.
Henry Ford was 45. Jack Wheel was 45 when he made a Cowboy Bear brand, Rockmart Ranchwear. He's now Ronnie Dangerfield has started his first appearance, or made didn't catch a break till he made an appearance on Ed Sullivan at 46. Momofuku Ando cemented his spot in junk food history when he invented instant ramen at age 48 in 1958. And Charles Darwin spent most of his life as a naturalist who kept to himself, but at age 50, his On the Origin of Species changed the scientific community forever in 1859. and Julia Child wrote her first cookbook at 50. So, needless to say, you are not doomed if you have not started your shit in your early 20s. I mean, come on. You're 24. You're barely an adult. You're not even fully cooked yet.
Huh. Colonel Sanders was 62 when he started KFC. I was just scrolling down to see if anybody else popped out.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the only one.
So, I mean, yeah. You know, it's never too late to start doing something that you want to do. I mean, I'm like, hell, I'm doing the YouTube stuff for funsies, and I am like a standard deviation over the average age of the streamers that you see and doing the YouTube bullshit. But I'm still doing it because it's fun. So, okay. There we go.
You want to read the next one?
Yeah, you're never too long to start doing something new. All right, so this one.
There's no such thing as too long.
Worries. Two unrelated questions. Hello okay. there, Notcasters. I have had a few things in my mind lately, and I think you may be able to offer insight into them. Feel free to read these separately, since they're both pretty long. Well, we'll break. Actually, they're not that long. My first question is to do with original species.
See Charles Darwin.
A number of years ago, me and a friend were talking. I mentioned I wanted to create a new character, and he pointed me towards citrus. This immediately struck me as a good choice because I'm in an area with a lot of orange trees, and I like the general morphology. I want to make it clear I didn't understand original species at the time, and I've never made money off the character. Fast forward to now, I've grown extremely attached to this character. She's still not my main, but I couldn't imagine giving her up for any reason. She has a full backstory, relatives, also citrus, a career, passion, hobbies. She's like a child or a close friend at this point. The reason I'm writing to you about it is because I have this fear that the artist that created them is going to message me one day telling me either pony up for character rights or demand that I get rid of her. I know this probably won't happen. Citrus even have their own species tag on FA, but the thought still bothers me, and I'm not sure what to do about it. Should I confront the artist and risk losing something that means so much to me? No.
Also, should I confront the artist? Sounds very...
Yeah.
Well, literally confrontational. No, that's not really...
Nobody is going to... Okay, no adult is going to give you shit because you made a character featuring their fictional species. There are the occasional idiots that post shit to Tumblr like, this is a closed species. I'm the only person who can be of this species. You can't make an OC.
Yeah.
But citrus are literal fuck tubes. Like, Adam Juan, their morphology is they have a tube. They are a mouth to an anus, a straight line. And that's like, they were made to be fucked in his porn.
Not cast, please. Completely denigrate my character that I've just told
no,
you.
No, I'm so no, close. I'm saying this is the original intent of the characters. And the fact that you've taken
Listen to me. Your character is a fuck tube. Quote Saverin, 2015.
No, seriously.
Okay.
Basically, right. they existed originally to be characters could fuck.
To take the biggest fattest cock with the biggest fucking load behind it that the furry fandom could dish out.
Yes, but you've taken a character design you liked and made your own thing about it, and that's yours. You're not monetizing it, and even then, it's a cartoony fox. What is he gonna do? Oh, I'm sorry. You can't pretend to be this character you've roleplayed for years. No, just don't worry about it, dude.
I will say, I would not write a book with that as the main character, or
yeah.
Produce an all Citra art book or something
yeah.
like that.
That would probably get you in trouble.
Don't make money off of this character. But if you're RPing it and you've got some commissions of this character, and I don't think that'll be a problem. There are also several other furs that have citrus as characters.
Yeah.
There's also chackats are created species. Well,
it's like Sergal.
Sergal, that's the other one. Yeah, that was not Lance Rund. That was the other guy out Alifino. In California or something. Okay. Like
they're furry land sharks, and then mm-hmm. people decided that's pretty cool. It was 4chan that thought they were pretty cool.
Huh.
And yeah.
So no, I don't think that would be I don't think you have anything to worry about it.
No.
I wouldn't bother going to the artist about it though, because he's probably had that shit before. And just, Anyway, next question. Next
one. My second question is a bit less specific. I've never really had any goals or dreams. You always hear about those awesome people who knew what they wanted to do as long as they can remember. I worry because I've never really had any idea that I wanted to do with my life, and it feels like keeping me from accomplishing anything. I don't have any significant passions or anything, even growing tired of things I enjoy, such as talking to friends or doing art after a while, though I usually come back to them after a bit of something else. I don't want to give the impression that I'm depressed about this, because I'm not. In fact, I'm quite happy most of the time. I've been depressed before, and this feeling is totally different. More like, I kind of wish I gave more of a shit about something. General apathy, perhaps? I guess I can sum it up with the phrase, it's hard to live your dream when you never have one. Do you guys have any tips on learning these things about oneself, or can you share how you found out what you wanted to do in life? In notes, thank you for your time, Notcasters. Love the show, and thanks for putting up with the wall of text. Murphy the Floridian Coon.
So, like our interests, well, like podcasting started as a bad joke. You know, we know the, for newer people, the origin of the show is that I made a joke on my live journal that was like, a podcast for canine furries would be called Notcast. And then people started bouncing around, like replied with like different slogans and stuff like that. And there was like three or four of us, and your mate said, I've got the equipment. You guys could do this if you wanted.
And thus we started.
And we started recording it, and that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and that sort
of... You've probably confused some people by saying, on LiveJournal. People are like, what the fuck's a LiveJournal? Right,
yeah.
Back in my day...
That also probably led to your interest in recording shit for audiobooks, because we started fucking around with all this recording equipment.
Yeah, it was sort of a, well, I've got this stuff, why not do it?
Which led to you doing the Bronyville podcast and doing a lot of stuff on that side, too. I acquired for Planet when I was 32, I think. So it wasn't until like I was like 31 and I'd been helping out and I started thinking about it and I was like, this is really cool. This is what I would like to do with my time. So like I'd enjoyed before that in the fandom, my primary contributions were like setting up fur meets and hanging out with other furries and that was cool, and I enjoyed it, but I didn't really have, like, a career or a direction. You know, I noodled around with some short stories and stuff, but then I just got this thing, and I was like, I'm really passionate about making books and comics. This is what I want to do. And I was in my 30s. So this is not something that is going to, like, strike you, like, necessarily very young or right out of high school or anything.
Or... Even if you do have an idea, you know, what you actually want to do might change later in life.
Yeah. People nowadays can go through multiple careers. I mean, I would just try things that you're interested in. I mean, yeah, your focus shifts a little bit, you know, and then you come back to it. Because I'm glad you mentioned the depression thing, because my first thought was that you could be depressed, because I'm not interested in anything is oftentimes a symptom of depression. But if that's not the case, then, you know, we all get to that point in our lives where it's like, well, I've done the thing. I graduated school. I got a job. I have an apartment. Well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know, because you're given a roadmap up to a point, and the roadmaps of, well, you get married, you have a couple kids and a dog, and then you buy a house, doesn't really work if you're not that way inclined or you don't want to go that route, you know? Yeah. So it gets different for everybody.
And, you know, and once you do find something that you like doing, it might, you know, spawn other interests. I mean, you know, you can't see the interior of the office here, but it's set up to be recording space, but it also has a giant-ass green screen and lighting rig, so I can do videos and whatnot, which is just an extension of what I've been doing with the podcasting for a long time.
Right.
And I actually do a video cast now on my YouTube channel of talking about anime with a friend of mine who's into anime.
Anime.
And so it's just like, you know, find something out, and then you'll... You know, probably just branch off out of it. Find what you like to do. And
yeah, I will say that like once you have a thing and it ends up sucking up a lot of your time. And there will be points when you'll be like, wow, remember when I didn't have any responsibility? You know, it does occur to me sometimes. So it is important to take a break. But like, you know, enjoy yourself and the freedom you have right now to explore and to try different things and explore your interests and try to figure out what you want to do. I mean, that's a good time in your life, too. So that'd be my advice. Maybe try different things. Get together with your friends and try different things. See how many people you can have sex with at once. Wait, no, not that last part. Do you have anything else to add, Severin?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean,
all right. Let's move on to the next one. Sweet Jesus. Okay.
You can read the other one, and I can read the long one if you want.
All right. They're both long as fuck. Oh my god. Okay. All right. Update from weeks ago.
Holy shit.
I'm not sure how long ago this was, but okay. Like, apparently the prior email, he had some keyboard problems.
Okay, so this is the one where the dude is in the middle of nowhere by the border at the school that's basically fucking him over. And he asked, you know, how the fuck do I get out of this? This is the follow-up to that.
Okay.
Back to the background. He wasn't. This is the guy that was at the school in Oklahoma, and then his dad fucked up his marriage, and they ended up like somewhere in like the Rio Grande Valley, somewhere maybe, middle of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. FYI, the one stuck on the border due to father finding a side woman. Also, I'm sorry that I sent back two emails, and the second one didn't follow the same file format. Well, dad is now married to the new wife. He sent out an email blast to his full contacts list, and I was one of them for some reason. Anyways, I'm emailing you to give an update on my situation, not his. It was suggested by one of you that I look in an online college, and I'm way ahead of you. I'm searching and looking right now. I'm good with anything. I just want credits to be actually worth something and not cost an arm and a leg. Good considerations. Also, I'm not sure whether or not on my sign-up paperwork for SWTJC was an in-state resident or not, due to I had help from one of sign-up stations and a person walked me through it. Either way, money lost. Job-wise, there are some in-house job opportunities that are way better in pay, such as junior manager and lead of receiving. Issue is I can't learn Spanish. Now, someone might say, just learn some simple things. I can't even learn the basic. I have experienced this via my parents when I was young. Spent hundreds every month on private tutoring and private classes, but I learned nothing, and yes, I did want to. I talked to the people in charge of hiring, and they said without a very good Spanish tongue, these positions can't be touched. Even so, I applied. Wish me luck. Someone also suggested that I talk to family here about how I am doing, and this I was doing, I'm sorry, practically nothing is capitalized, and there's no punctuation at all, so it's flowing very weird, so I apologize for the way this is coming out. That I talked to family here about how I am doing, and this I was doing with my mother, but she'll end up crying when she goes to her room swearing and feeling sorry for me, which is not okay. So I stopped, and she stopped crying. I do have other family here, but my uncles and cousins seem to be rabbits and have produced babies, which is nice, but now they only one over 18 with, I guess the only one over 18 without a mate is me, and I'm constantly asked why and when, and then they'll get offended when I say I'm too young for kids and having kids at my age is crazy. Well, I wouldn't say the last part then. Just don't be offensive. Just say you don't feel ready, or maybe you don't want kids. Not everybody wants kids. In fact, there's a trend lately with more recent generations choosing to not have children at all or to wait until later to have children. This stresses the hell out of me since I'm not sure what sexuality I go. Yes, I know it doesn't matter, but when picking someone more on who they are a person, but a good place to start.
So just moving on, his mom has some health problems, which sucks, but she's on pills for that. He's attempting to take every day a day at a time, but it's getting harder. And he's seeing old classmates on from his school talking about getting degrees and moving on. And here he is with his GPA kind of in the shitter and feeling bad about that. Any advice? Still nice to hear from a neutral third party. If you have any, let's hear it. I'm slowly losing a bit of weight because I've kind of been inspired to join the military, but that's way down the line. Anyways, from Error the White Tiger. Basically, life is kind of shit, and you're the sort of black sheep, because you're a white tiger.
Okay.
One thing that you need to know about with, like, the social media and whatnot, generally when you see that you're basic and you compare your life to theirs, you're really only seeing the highlight reel in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
People posting like, holy shit, I just got a new job. Yeah. Or, my wife is pregnant. Woo. They don't post about, oh, I got passed over for a promotion at work. Most people don't. Mm. Turns out my wife can't have kids. Whoops. Stuff yeah. like that.
And also, don't compare yourself to anyone but you.
Yeah.
If you're moving ahead from where you were previously, then that's a success. And if you're not, then, everybody has those kind of situations, and that is something you need to address. But everybody's background is different. Everybody's experiences are all very personal. You're not going to advance at the same rate as everybody else does. There was I read a comic today, actually, that kind of addressed this and was talking about way back in the day, like, say, 150,000 years ago, humans are just kind of coming out of their caves and shit. And you might only encounter, like, 150 people in your lifetime. And those are the people that you know and would be able to compare your life to. And they're the ones you have contact with. Now, fast forward to 2015 AD. And how many people do you know, air quotes, on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, etc.? You might encounter the stories of 150 people a day. You might go to a convention and meet a shitload of people, and you're following all these people, and now you're exposed to so many more stories, but your human brain capacity and capacity to empathize with them is the same
yeah.
as it was millennia ago. Except that now you feel way shittier about yourself because the number of people whose information that you're exposed to is yeah. exponentially higher. So this is a problem with the way our society has become so much more networked. It has its pluses and its minuses, but the long and the short of it is that don't beat the shit out of yourself comparing yourself to other people, especially over social media, which, like Savrin said, is even if they do occasionally share some of the more negative things in their lives, it's still a very filtered view
yeah.
of people's lives.
So
focus on you, not on your family, your online friends, and what they're doing in their lives.
Yeah. From the way things are going for you, goal to join the military might not be that bad an idea, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they'll I don't think he's mentioned how old he is, but...
Well, still in college, and I think previously. I'm assuming early 20s.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Oh, he actually says at my age, 22.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Duh. God.
Right.
Reading comprehension, yo.
Yeah. I'm thinking, even if you're not at the ideal weight for the military yet, talk to a recruiter anyway, because a lot of times they'll be like... We have a program that will get you in shape.
Yeah, and you know, compared to some of the shit you're talking about having to deal with. And, I mean, it's not ideal, but it probably better than what you got.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different programs you can look into with the military. There's some where they'll, like, you'll go to school part-time and be paid a military salary while you go to school for, like, 2 years and then enter at the officer level, depending on whether it's the Coast Guard or the Army or the Air Force or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot.
Yeah. And I don't know if they still do this, but back when I was in high school, they had me take what's called the ASFAB, which was like the Armed Services something battery was the B. And it was basically, we were advised by, did you ever take, okay. Well, we were advised that it's basically, it's an assessment test in a variety of different areas, English, mathematics, etc. We were advised to take it because it was good practice for the SAT, which we all had to take to get in college and get scholarships and stuff. So on the plus side is good testing and getting you ready for the SAT. On the other side, which may be the plus side for some people, it does also bring you to the eye of military recruiters. So like, dude showed up and was like, well, you know, if you lose X amount of weight, we'd love to talk to you because you scored very highly. So I was intelligent, but just way out of shape. But if that's still a test that's out there as some sort of assessment tool, you could probably take that at a recruiter's office, and then they could tell you where your strengths are and maybe where would be appropriate to place you.
It's worth
just
a shot.
Just a thought. You know, also maybe look into some career advisement. If there's not one in the call at the school itself, then some recruitment agencies might offer that kind of assistance as well. But yeah, as we kind of did the broad strokes on there, that's about all I can think of. I know with family, you know, it can really get you down, and you know, we all feel very obligated to our families and so forth, but while being obligated to family, you also have to take care of yourself as well. Let me go ahead and archive that, and
I will begin the next tale.
I couldn't remember.
This one is well punctuated, at least.
Oh, okay. Jolly good.
All right. The subject, Kitsune Consternation. Greetings, not
cast. It's Kitsune, shitlord.
I have been a long-time listener, but haven't written it at all. However, today seems to have ended up differently. There are several things that have been eating at me lately, primarily certain issues with my current relationship. I don't expect this to be read on air. I will skip past that paragraph. Now, I have to say, I never thought I would be one to write in with any issues of my own, especially after so many years of listening to all the wonderful advice you've been providing. I've been a listener since the first episode aired, holy shit, and you have all helped me through some difficult times in the past. I have been asked for advice on several occasions, and even now it seems as though I have become a go-to person for several of my friends when they are having trouble. However, it seems that even those of us who advise others still need to receive advice ourselves. Names have been changed for privacy, though I'm certain if any of the involved parties hear this, they'll piece it together anyway. Let me provide some background information. My name is Ryoko. I'm a gay male, 24 years of age. I live with my now ex-mate, Jane, and two roommates, Ron and Adam.
Jane! Oh, sorry.
I had met my ex while I was still in high school. At that time, I had been so far in the closet that I was basically trying to fool myself along with everyone around me. Met in 2006 and began an LDR in 07. I moved up after graduation in 09, and things had gone great for the first 2 years. Now, my ex isn't exactly stereotypically beautiful. She's still the most beautiful woman I know. Issue is, it's always been that while I did find her attractive in many ways, I was having trouble viewing our relationship as anything other than purely platonic. As such, things are not quite as exciting or as active as one might assume. We did mess around on occasion, though, and I will admit that I did enjoy it. I had begun to doubt myself in late 11, though I shoved those feelings aside just going under the assumption that it would pass. It never did, in fact, and what happened was just the opposite. I began to find myself sexually attracted to males more and more. The primary trigger had been a brief visit we'd made to one of our mutual friends. At this point, I discovered I was particularly interested in men. About 2 years ago, I ran across another enticing wolf boy, Drew. I talked to Jane regarding the circumstances. We agreed that it would be a good opportunity to get a feel for the area. Drew and I moved into a shared living space with others, and with the reasoning that it would be much cheaper for everyone. Jane remained behind in case things did not work out. I had been struggling with myself at the time, and I'm certain I had hurt Drew on more than one occasion with the whole back-and-forth thing I was going through, unable to really get a grip on my feelings. I was sending a whole bunch of mixed signals, and I was quite aware of it. He was understanding and quite supportive, though. However, he just couldn't take a hint and really pressed me for things I was uncomfortable with. Regardless of what I felt, I usually gave in. I continued to fight with these feelings and the stress of having to deal with it over the following year, and as a result, I damaged my friendships from that time. I ended up moving back with Jane after several arguments and have been living with them since early 2014. Moving back in with Jane and getting into several arguments with Drew and others I had been living with in early 2014. I'm kind of ad-libbing a little bit, keeping the core intact. Now here's where the trouble begins. I was in denial for the following year and was unable to really come to grips with everything until recently. Because of this, I felt that I was simply leading Jane on and have only been doing so for the past 4 years. I tried to explain I was simply unable to make a relationship work between us and broke it off. I never anticipated anything like this and was entirely unprepared for the emotional backlash. I knew she would be upset and I was prepared, but it was definitely unexpected to have such a hard time myself. After all, I was the one doing the dumping. Let's add to the emotional turmoil now. One of my roommates, Ron, had really been weighing everyone down. He has refused to pay rent for 2 months now, hasn't paid on any of the utilities for almost four, and has not pitched in for around the house at all. Please don't ask why we let him stick around, as I have no idea what we do. Kick his ass to the curb, dude. I have told him to get his act together or leave, though I don't really have any legal leverage to kick him out, as he is signed onto the lease. I have no idea what I can do about any of this, and as far as I'm aware, I'm simply stuck waiting until the lease is up. If you guys have any suggestions on how to go about getting Ron to pitch in around the house and pay his portion of the rent, I would be quite helpful.
You know that scene in Full Metal Jacket where all the guys load up pillowcases with soap and then they go into his bunk and beat the shit out of the guy in a way that doesn't show any bruises? That's how you deal with Ron. That Ron Weasley motherfucker.
Yep.
No, I don't want to advocate violence. God, that is a tough one. Yeah, because actually, and I've heard of people being majorly fucked over in situations like this before, actually evicting someone when they're on the lease is
really hard.
Really hard and takes a really long time and varies from state to state and what their laws in housing are. So stay away from the E word, because you don't want to put him on that kind of defensive, and I don't know, cut him off from privileges like he's a child, because I guess you could treat him like a child since he clearly can't take care of himself.
You know, don't stock anything food in the main kitchen area. Make him have to, you know, forage outside the house for berries and nuts like a furry.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if there's like an Xbox in the living room and you own it, take it out of the living room, put it in your bedroom, lock it up. You know, it sucks for everyone else, but you know, if he's not paying rent, then I mean, is he working? You know,
is he just sleeping on the couch all day, slowly molding his body to it?
Yeah, it's it's actually difficult to really give specific advice because we don't know everything about it, but guy sounds like kind of a shit. Obviously you've already talked to him and continue to talk to him because you want to be up front, but you could also just, you know, do a lot of nonverbal cues like that, you know, and just, I don't know, I can imagine if that just becomes so fucking annoying, he would eventually get his act together. But God, it's really difficult to deal with an adult that doesn't want to act like an adult.
Yeah.
You know, do you have any advice on that?
I don't, beyond that. I mean, make his living experience uncomfortable enough that it forces him to act.
Yeah.
Because
that he either gets his shit together or grass, leaves.
Nobody rides for free.
Right. Yeah.
Moving on. To make things more complicated, I've fallen back into the community as a distraction. I found myself on the IRCs once again. While there, ran across Fox, I really clicked with. He has been kind and generous, though he doesn't really though he doesn't really know what has been going on with me. Even so, one night I was feeling particularly distraught and, of course, hiding the best I could. He kind of jumped the gun and asked to be mates. I was stupid and most definitely not thinking straight when he agreed. This relationship is long distance, and I hadn't really put a lot of weight on it as a result. I wasn't aware of his view on these things, and had only found out recently that the importance he has put on our relationship was considerably more than I did.
Oh, dear.
As much as I like him, I don't know how I can make our relationship last in the long run. He has it rough and is in no position to move, visit, or otherwise get in contact IRL. I am in a similar position, but I'm also looking to further my education, which involves a probable move to California, which is quite literally on the other side of the country. Don't move to California, dude. Seriously. That shit's fucking expensive. You can get a good education local. California might be the promised land for furries, but it's expensive as shit. Unless you want to live in Stabtown, and then it's expensive and stabby.
Mm-hmm.
To add to that mess, Drew has somehow managed to weasel himself back into my life and has been pulling for me to return to Texas and live there. I've shot down the idea every time it was brought up, but I still consider it from time to time. So it's a long-distance relationship with somebody with no financial support, and they live literally across the country? Boy, I guess that sucks for the other guy. I mean, seriously, you're looking at this and you admit that there's no way I can do this. He's had it rough, has no way to get in contact IRL. You're broke as shit, too. You ran your mouth on IRC, and now you get to basically sell him, I'm sorry, this shit's not going to work. Because if you're admitting it right here and you kind of have this, I don't know, this guy's clinging on to me, congratulations. You get to be the shitlord this time and be like, yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd kind of agree with that. I mean, if you've discovered that your view of the relationship is not on par with his view of the relationship, you need to come clean about that.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess it was just an online thing for you. You didn't think a lot about, and he thought it was like, a O-N-G serious, real life relationship, role. Right? Then, yeah, you need to address that disparity.
And pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Don't string the dude along, you know. And if he wants to still be friends and isn't, like, super clingy and annoying about it, or is fine with, like, pulling back a little bit, then, I mean, you can maintain a long-distance relationship for a while. I mean, that's not a problem, but if you're in a position where, like, you're not interested in him at all like that and want to explore IRL things, then just break it off. You know, you don't necessarily have to do that, but you need to talk to him ASAP. As far as the other guy goes, Drew, I mean, you sound like you had some drama with him.
I mean,
he pushed you into some shit. And I'm sorry, what?
I mean, he did use the phrase weasel himself back into my
right,
life.
Right, yeah.
Which is not a positive phrase.
Yeah, so, you know, don't let him. You know, everything you said about him sounds pretty negative so far, including pushing you into doing gay stuff when you weren't ready for it, which is not cool. You know, you might be thinking it, but screw this guy, you know?
But not literally.
Keep him, I don't. I think we have to say that every time, but it's just something people do to drive me crazy.
Sorry.
Because it's a Twitter pet peeve mostly when I'm like, fuck that guy, and someone always goes, not literally.
Triggered.
Yes, triggered.
All right.
Yeah, get that, you know, trigger that dude right out of your life.
Almost done with this. Then there's old friend Finn. We've kept in touch for the most part, but have stayed really close over the past couple years. Kept in touch and are close. Okay. He's been nothing if not supportive of me and has really helped me out. Recently, he too has been making some subtle passes at me, which I just pretend to miss, even though more obvious hints I try to brush off as teasing, though I'm certain that's not the case. Lately, I've developed some strong feelings for him as well, and though it seems mutual, I don't want to jump forward either. I have already caught myself in a bind with Tom and don't really want to dump him without really knowing for certain how Finn feels. I do know this is something we'll be able to figure out online, however. I know this isn't something we'll be able to figure out online, okay? He and I have tossed about the idea of meeting up over fall later this year, but I have yet to really solidify any plans. I do not really want to lead Tom on if this does turn into something more serious. I also know I can't really go back if I should leave him somewhat preemptively.
Tom is the other guy.
Yeah. Internet LDRs, just... You gotta have it. break it. Like, seriously.
Yeah, the other guy is LDR too.
Right? I think everything here except for Jane, which is in the final paragraph, has been LDR.
Oh my God, there's like a whole other.
There's that's the TLDR, which is only slightly shorter than the what I've been reading, and I'm not going to read that because it's the TLDR. Well, I've already done the TL part, and now the last thing I have to point out is I still have feelings for Jane. I can't get over her, and I don't know if I ever will. We've been together for 7 years, and after all, she has been perfect in almost every way imaginable. But my interest in males has caused her a world of hurt, and I cannot put her through that again. I basically made a mess of my life, and I'm now at a loss of what to do. Yes. I know living with her is probably the last thing either of us needs, but even so, we've remained friends through everything. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. I apologize for length of this email.
P.S.
Side note, I've been writing a bit and would like to get published. What setting should I use to get an accurate idea of what my story will look like if published in paperback when writing in Word? Your avid listener, Ryoko.
Okay, so first I want to say you've not, what did he say, ruined? I've made a mess of my life and now I'm at a loss. You haven't made a mess of your life. You're like 20 and you're having a couple of relationship issues. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
It is certainly not the end of the world.
You have got bitches hanging from every fucking limb at this point. Don't panic.
And, you know, since he's a kitsune, you know, he's got multiple tails too, so he's probably got bitches hanging off of there too.
Right. So... let's go through these.
Bitches in the gender neutral sense.
Exactly. Well, I always mean bitches in a gender neutral sense. Because it doesn't matter.
I'm joking because he's like, I'm gay. Lol.
Oh, okay. Anyways. Right. Well, everybody has an anus, so therefore everyone is a bitch.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, let's take these one at a time. Jane, do you have feelings for her?
You live with her.
But you're gay. You don't want to put that through her. Then don't. You know, yeah. Everyone has feelings for people that they're not necessarily going out with or anything. And you could see her as somewhat like at a sistery way. You know, you've been friends for a long time. But, you know, and I hate to use a hackneyed term, but for all intents and purposes, Jane is in your friend zone. And that's, from her perspective... That sucks, and she doesn't like that. But, I mean, that just happens when you fall in love with a guy who turns out to be gay. It is an unfortunate circumstance for Jane, but in the long run, Jane will be fine. Jane will get over it, and she will find someone else that she cares about. So don't play with her. Don't tease her. Don't initiate anything. Just be friends, and if that gets too emotionally difficult for both of you, then you need to move out and find other roommates.
Yep.
One or both of you. The other guys, first one, Tom, like we already said, come clean to him on your feelings about this relationship and how you don't feel as strongly about them as he does. And until you have done that, I would put the other guy on the back burner. Talk to Tom, figure your shit out, and then, because if you have a relationship with Tom, you need to work out and agree on what the boundaries of that relationship are. If you're a long distance, are you open or closed? If you're open... and Fen wants to have sex with you and understands that you have someone you're dating so it won't be a romantic thing, then have sex with Fen and date the other guy long distance. If Tom wants it closed, then you got to say, sorry, Fen, I'm in a relationship with somebody.
And even then, I think Fen is long distance too.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes it even more complicated. But,
yes.
You know, and if you're like... Tom, I'm just not that into you. And Tom's like, well, we're breaking up. Then maybe you can pursue something with Fen, or maybe not. You know, it's up to you.
That would solve the problem. Right. And as for Drew, well, don't do anything with Drew.
Who the fuck is... Oh, Drew's a scumbag.
Drew's a scumbag who weaseled his way back in.
Right, yeah, fuck that guy. I mean, not Literally.
I didn't say it. You said it this time.
I know. You've triggered yourself. I know.
You've triggered my trap card.
God, I'm such a shitlord. But yeah, no, push that guy out of your life because it doesn't sound like there's anything positive about him. And, you know, you might not have even consciously realized it, but looking at the words you used when Drew was in the paragraph, you clearly have some negative feelings about him, and I don't think he should be in your life anymore.
Yeah. Just no, you don't want anything to do with him, and no, you're not going to move to Texas. So don't.
Yeah. So to answer the much easier question, actually, than relationship stuff, in terms of formatting, I mean, I'm assuming that you just want this as a basic idea of about how long your book will be, because we actually do all the typesetting and layout and everything on our end. But our books are 8.5 by 5.5. I would go ahead and set margins of 1 inch top and bottom, 3/4 of an inch inside and outside. Font size can vary between 10 and 12. I would say go ahead and do 11. And just use, just for sizing ideas, just use like single spacing. And in Word, that should give you a rough idea of the page count. It's usually within that range. Oh, and also justify the text, because we justify our text in the final layout. And usually that will knock off a few pages here and there. And then, you know, you'll probably add a few extra pages for the title page, the copyright info page, the afterword, etc. But that'll give you an idea within about a 10-page margin.
So, yeah. This is a very long email, but basically, you need to come clean to Tom. You should probably define your boundaries with Jane. You know, very much make sure that she knows she's in the friend zone. And if that's an issue, you need to probably have your own living arrangements. Tom, you probably should break it off. He's going to not be happy, as you mentioned, but leading him on is worse. Finn, well, before declaring anything, you should probably meet the person in real life first. It helps.
Oh, they haven't met IRL yet?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Finn says he lives in the Northeast and would probably... Well, I'll probably be going to Cali for school. Well, we'll see about that. So, congratulations. You are a young, hormone-addled teenager or slash young adult with lots of romantic attractions all over the damn place. GG, you are an example of modern youth today. Damn kids!
Yeah. And this will all shake out and settle down in time. You haven't made a mess of your life or anything. Yeah. You'll be fine.
I mean, people, and this has actually been a common thread through the emails today, is like, you know, it's never too late to just give something another shot. Start over.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, that shit didn't work out. I'm not stuck in this rut. I'm going to go aim for blah.
Mm-hmm.
You got your health. That's what matters. So.
Hallelujah.
Give whatever else a shot, you know?
Yep.
So, and even with those few emails, we still managed to be about 1 hour 15 long.
Nice. So, no big plans next week. Sheev will be back. I'll still be here because it won't be my con for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I put forth on our Patreon to the backers only the what topics would they like to see us cover, but I haven't gone and looked and see if we got any comments.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'll maybe see if... people on Patreon can give us suggestions about what they'd like to have us discuss.
That'd be cool. Okay. We'll go with that for now.
Yep. All right. So, on that note,
good night.
And big balls.